It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You're all right.
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up. Speak up. Say something. Do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
You know, the number one rule of political or watchdog reporting is follow the money.
John Adams here. I covered the legislature for the Great Falls Tribune.
A source of mine had come across something that I might be interested in.
Voters in your district had never seen something.
No, this was a whole new political attack.
They send out all these mailings. They don't care if they lie.
Nobody knows who they are. They call them dark money groups, and that's exactly what they are.
Corporation
funnels money to a dark money group. They send out postcards attacking the opponent. When that candidate gets elected, they support the agenda of the corporation.
I don't know how to fight them. I can't pick up the phone and say, hey, what's your interest in candidate X? Because I don't know who they are.
And it's not just Montana.
Campaign finance is the gateway to every other issue that you might care about.
Americans are barraged by these political advertisements that are funded by who knows whom. We don't even know if they're domestic.
Politics is just child's play to business. They know how to manipulate the system.
You can buy the politicians, you can buy the judges.
When I first got to the FEC, I thought that we would work together on issues such as disclosure.
If they fails 3-3, Oceans fails 3-3, that fails 3-3.
The FEC will not enforce the law.
New allegations in court against a leading legislator.
What's at stake is whether or not Art Wittig broke Montana campaign finance laws.
Do we care enough to demand that politicians comply with our campaign laws?
The bottom line is, did Wittig know that he was receiving all of these services?
The people who want to keep dark money have a real problem. The public does not agree with them.
They want a government that works for them. It doesn't work for special interests, doesn't work for political parties, it works for them.
This is scary stuff, but I think this is the proving ground now for the American experiment.
All right, that was a PBS report on so-called dark money, and you might have noticed Democratic candidates and other Democrats are obsessed with this, so is the American media. And the storyline is this, that the Republicans have created powerful interests, and they have these groups that are funded by dark money. And who knows, they might even be coming from other countries, maybe whisper Russia. Who knows where this money's coming from? They make it a mantra. The truth of it is, the money that's being poured in a dark way into campaigns and issues in this country right now is not on the right, it's on the left. And no one knows this better than my next guest. Scott Walter is the president of Capital Research Center. Capital Research Center is a watchdog that follows these things very carefully. And they've recently come out with a report, which we're going to reference frequently as we talk today, on the dark money of the left. And so, Scott, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
Hey, explain to us, Scott, what does it mean, dark money? What does that, sounds pretty odious. What is it?
Well, the term was invented in 2010 by a lefty watchdog group, sort of by accident, and there isn't an absolute definition that everybody, even among the sophisticates in the swamp here on left and right, there's not a flat-out precise definition, but the gist of it is if donor A gives money to group B, and maybe the money moves still to yet a third thing, C, or maybe not, but in any event, the money is then spent, and when it's spent in some sort of public policy-related way, you know, to advocate for or against things, whatnot, the people, you know, the ordinary public doesn't know that the name of donor A who got it all started. So the idea is that somehow there's a donor who's affecting the public policy process in some way, and and we don't know. They're not outed, and we don't know about it. Now, having said that, the usual meaning of it, that is to say, the one that's sort of most common, is just used for a certain type of 501c tax exempt organization. The 501c4s, Planned Parenthood is a 501c4. Judicial Crisis Network that supports Trump's judicial nominees, you know, backs them. That's a C4. And the Citizens United Supreme Court decision made it easier for money to go to those 501c4s and not be revealed. And so the left has been hysterical ever since. That was a 2010 decision. And ever since, the left has been hysterical about that, because initially there was more conservative money going to C4s than liberal money. Now, actually, that's changed. But anyway, for the long answer.
No. Well, we needed a long answer. So bottom line is, according to that definition, there is dark money. There's nothing illegal about it. It is legal, but there is dark money going into both the right and to the left. Fair to say?
Yes. Now, I'll give you my favorite definition of dark money is much simpler. It comes from a very savvy friend of mine, and he says it's real simple. Dark money is support for speech that the left wants silenced.
Yeah.
So they will call any conservative speaking in any way who doesn't take every last donor and publish his name on the internet this afternoon, that's dark money. And they completely ignore the fact that there is all kinds of left-wing money being handled in exactly the same way.
And, of course, things have changed so much, Scott, that now if corporate or wealthy donors want to participate in an initiative, they almost have to hide their identity on the right, or there's hell to pay. There's job loss. There's shaming. There's attacks by the Twitter mob, and worse. And when this was first established, this law, the Supreme Court ruled on that case, that really wasn't happening then, was it? Maybe you don't
know.
It
wasn't nearly so bad. To me, not the absolute first in all history, but the first great outburst was in the wake of the Prop 8 ballot initiative in California, let's think about this. Even in California, in a general election that was therefore the most representative kind of election they have in California, gay marriage was defeated. That shows its true popularity among the American people, that even there it was defeated. But, again, the left does not take defeats lying down, and they savagely attacked people who did as little as a pittance to. I mean, there's a woman in a restaurant who, as I recall, lost her job, certainly had incredible harassment for a $100 check.
Well, and then,
you know, and the CEO of Mozilla, and you're not even safe.
I remember
The left loves to pretend like, oh, well, the rich people, you know, they crush the rest of us. Yeah, tell that to Brendan Eich, right? Multimillionaire, fabulously successful entrepreneur, is thrown out of his own company because, in his case, he gave $1,000 to Prop 8.
So that's the backdrop of the decision to, why donors look for ways to give money to causes they believe in that are not reported. But now, let me just, before we leave and go to the, you know, Arabella, which we want to talk about, that people are going, huh, what's that? And we'll talk about it in just a second. When it comes to the right, it seems to me, and I mean, how would I know, but it just doesn't seem to me that we have that many big money donors. The Koch brothers have gone south on so many issues that conservatives embrace. I would not put them on the list. Maybe you would. Who on the right, though, do we know are capable of giving big money and do?
Well, previously, although it's not clear that it's as significant, as high amounts these days, you know, you had the Mercers who were big Trump backers after backing Ted Cruz first and also backed Breitbart significantly. And his net worth is around the billion-dollar mark. There are one or two others who are, you know, Foster Friis is a billionaire and has long been famous for backing some political candidates and some conservative groups and all. But The real answer is we did the math for you. We have a really good study on the Citizens United case because, you know, the left makes it sound like the whole universe tilted after that 2010 Supreme Court decision. So we thought, well, let's look at the numbers. And we looked at the 501c3 universe. That's the regular nonprofits, the think tanks and, you know, ed reform groups and things like that. We looked at the pretty much the whole universe of left and right public policy-oriented 501c3s, and 4 years after Citizens United. And the amount of money in that world dwarfs the political money. It especially dwarfs the Citizens United independent expenditures dark money world. They're, you know, multiple times larger than that. And when you break it down left-right, it's 3-1 left over right.
All right, and that's
so
in the C3.
The short answer is you're totally right. Yeah. We don't begin to have as many Soroses and Ford Foundations and the rest.
Yeah. Well, you recently came out with a report. I don't know how, when you, Capital Research Center, discovered this entity known as Arabella and how you discovered it. Can you say?
Sure. Last summer, before Kavanaugh was named to the Supreme Court, but after Justice Kennedy had stepped down, friends of ours here in D.C. were concerned because this new group called Demand Justice that nobody had ever heard of was doing all kinds of vicious attacks on the president and on the Judiciary Committee, the Republicans, that is, on the Judiciary Committee. Nobody had even heard of them, and nor could they find anything out about them. So they got in touch with us, and we immediately put together, I confess I had not heard of them either because they were brand new. But within hours, we had put together a dossier of everything that could be dug up from them, because that's Capital Research Center's specialty, is precisely all that digging and investigation. And we sent all that to, we spread that around to our friends, and we immediately also put it on our website, influencewatch.org. I highly urge your readers to go to influencewatch.org, and just that's an online encyclopedia of all these lefty donors and activists and activist groups and the rest. And one of the things that we discovered with Demand Justice is it doesn't exist. Now, that'd be news to Brett Kavanaugh, who was, of course, savaged by it. And by the way, they're the ones who, we also covered their rallies on the steps of the Supreme Court, because Demand Justice was the ones who immediately held a rally the morning after Kavanaugh's name was announced, and we have pictures of all the signs with other people's names on them, because of course they were prepared if it was, you know, Amy Comey Barrett or something. They even had signs that were just blank in case it was a surprise. So they were deeply concerned about Mr. Kavanaugh. Ha ha. You know, they didn't want anybody that Trump was going to nominate. But anyway, so what we discovered was that they don't exist. That is to say, there is not a 501c3 group that files under the name Demand Justice. Now, my group has to do that, and that Judicial Crisis Network, which is one of the biggest backers of Trump judicial nominees, you can go look up their 990 in 30 seconds online. The 990 is the IRS form that nonprofits have to fill out, make
right.
disclosures. So, you know, you can't, there's no board of directors for you to discover. You can't tell what vendors they're using and how much they're paying them. You can't tell who the officers are in their organization. You can't tell the salaries that those officers are earning. All those things you can look up on regular groups. So what they're doing is...
Scott, hold that thought. Hold that thought, because there's the music, and we have to take a break. So I'm talking to Scott Walter of Capital Research Center. This is just the beginning of a fascinating story. Washington is abuzz about this right now, I have to tell you, and for good reason. And Scott is particularly talking about one manifestation of the dark money on the left called Demand Justice. There's much to say about it, so stay tuned. Sandy Rios, in the morning on AFR Talk.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
This is the most unethical sham since I've been in politics.
I've never sexually assaulted anyone. Not in high school, not in college, not ever.
You're looking for a fair process? You came to the wrong town at the wrong time.
Remember that? Well, Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh is now facing new attacks on multiple fronts tonight. First, more than 24 progressive groups have now sent a letter to Congress demanding that they investigate Kavanaugh's, quote, sham confirmation process. One group is called Demand Justice. Their executive director, Brian Fallon, happens to be Hillary Clinton's former campaign spokesman. His group is also backing a separate campaign to get Kavanaugh fired from a guest professor position with George Mason University, writing, quote, Kavanaugh has been credibly accused, they claim, of sexual assault by multiple women whose allegations have not been thoroughly investigated, they also claim. His confirmation does not absolve him of guilt, they write, and he should not be given a platform to teach.
That was Ed Henry, Fox News, and that's really actually pretty current report on what's happening with Justice Kavanaugh. But as Scott Walter, our guest, who's the president of Capital Research Center, was describing, through this whole window of demand justice suddenly popping up after Kavanaugh was, when he went into his hearing after he was nominated, and suddenly being an entity, it was through the discovery of demand justice that Capital Research Center made a greater discovery. But Scott, I interrupted your narrative on demand justice. So let's go back to the rest of that. You said that that was when you first, it was like you started researching and you couldn't find anything. There was nothing to demand justice. There's no people, no office, no. So take it up from there and tell us how you figured out the larger story.
Sure. And I'll just tell your readers that, demand justice is absolutely the ringleader of the lynch mob after Kavanaugh and after any other whoever comes after that. And if your listeners want to come protest Mr. Kavanaugh, Demand Justice is leading a rally on October 6th here in D.C. So, yes, as you point out, they are still vigorously crusading to torture and torment him as a warning to anybody else who might get the call for a similar kind of nomination. Now, yes, as I said, there is no demand justice legal entity whatsoever. What it is simply what we call a pop-up group or a fake group, and it is just one of the, you know, it's not much more than a trademark name created in this vast empire that would be called dark money if the media called left-wing money dark money. So let me explain that it is a group that exists under an umbrella nonprofit that's called the 1630 Fund. Now the 1630 Fund is a 501c4, which means it can be it's a nonprofit that can be relatively engaged in politics, including opposing nominations that the Senate is considering, but. The 1630 Fund runs 40 or more of these little fake groups on all kinds of issues, abortion, gun control, Medicare for all, et cetera. And demand justice is just one of those. So demand justice is not a legal entity. It's not a grassroots-supported protest movement. It is simply a website and a letterhead that this giant C4 that does dozens and dozens of things on all kinds of issues has created. Now you're asking, well, what is this? Where did the 501c4 1630 Fund come from? And by the way, in just so you know, in 2017, 1630's revenues were $80 million just in 2017. So gives you an idea. And that's the most recent year for which there's numbers. But so that's that C4, 501c4 nonprofit, is one of four nonprofits. There are three more, and they're all operated in-house, as it were. They're the sort of pets of a for-profit entity called Arabella Advisors. Arabella was started by another Clintonista. Your clip there you just played showed that Demand Justice was started by a Clintonista, and Arabella was also started by a Clintonista by the name of Eric Kessler, He founded his for-profit consulting firm in 2005 after working at another dark money heavyweight, the League of Conservation Voters. And over the years, it has created these four huge umbrella nonprofits, each of which, as I say, creates little fake groups like Demand Justice. Now it's in the hundreds. We know of over 340 fake groups that those four nonprofits under Arabella have created. And if you got some cash, they'll be happy to create one this afternoon for you, too. They'll slap up that website. And they might, if you're lucky, make you a little letterhead to send letters. And you are a bona fide grassroots, nobody here but us, poor, suffering Americans pressure group.
On Eric Kessler, just to also make this a little more colorful and understandable, it's my understanding that he was a member of the Clinton Global Initiative, which is, of course, part of the Clinton Foundation. So all roads, it seems, or lots of these roads are leading back to the Clintons as usual. And so Brian Fallon, who was the campaign finance manager, I think, for Hillary Clinton in her bid for president, is the one running Demand Justice, which is one of these tiny little, deadly entities that's been founded by, you know, as you said, 1630. And that's the umbrella under Arabella, which is the big dog. So, but all these roads are leading back to the Clintons. But Ben Scott, George Soros' name factors in here, of course, because he's that Hungarian billionaire who's into everything bad. And I know he's given tons of money. There's a breakdown on that. But do we have any way of knowing who else is adding to this? You say in your report that they have $500 million. It's like an ATM machine for the left.
Yes, that's another website of ours, actually, darkmoneyatm.org. Okay. That will get you to just the Arabella info that we have, or influencewatch.org will give you that and Eric Kessler and the rest. But Arabella itself brags, because, of course, it assumes nobody except folks in the know are ever going to go to its own website, because, of course, our wonderful press, which it insists that democracy would die in darkness, has, of course, virtually no coverage ever of this $500 million a year dark money network. So on their own website, Arabella brags that their donors have assets in excess of $100 billion. So they are servicing more than $100 billion. And it's a very long list. I couldn't give you the whole list, but I can tell you it includes lots of big-name foundations, including the Gates Foundations, the Open Society, efforts that Soros have the Soros money, and much more. And again, we don't really know precisely, in almost all cases, we don't know who's funding what, because if that 1630 fund is running, you know, three or four dozen entities, the fact that Soros gave it money doesn't automatically let you know, well, for which one? For the gun grabbers or for the pro-aborts or for the judicial fighting ones? Now, I will say in the case of Demand Justice, that has been made public, and it was launched with seed money from millions in seed money from Soros.
Yeah, millions. And so, all right, so basically we have hundreds of entities, and would you say Black Lives Matter would fall under one of these? Is this that the kind of group that has grown out of this by some entity of its own?
I don't think that there's been, in that particular case, there definitely is Soros money behind Black Lives Matter efforts, but part of it is that, you know, Black Lives Matter is actually kind of amorphous. There's not there's not one single group that just does that. On the other hand, there aren't many issues that you can't find some part of the Arabella network. And again, I'll just run those numbers for you. The last year we know of, the four nonprofits Arabella runs had $582 million flow to them. 1 year, and 2018, I promise you, is going to be much bigger because there was so much left-wing money in 2018, and obviously it was not an off year like 2017. So, and in just 5 years, from 2013 to 2017, the four nonprofits were $1.2 billion. And again, with virtually no media reporting whatsoever.
So, Scott, would you say that figure you gave earlier, I'm thinking, does it apply then, the figure you gave earlier that said that there's like 3 to 1 as much money on the left as the right, I'm guessing it might even go up if 2018. Do you think that's a pretty good thumbnail sketch of the disparity between the money that's spent on the right and causes through large money donors and the money that's spent on the left from large money dark donors?
Absolutely. Even in the relatively small C4 world, which I said was the sort of the classic dark money definition, you know, where it sort of first started talking about the Citizens United affected funds, in the 2018 cycle, we have the definitive answer, and I didn't come up with it. A left-wing group that's a campaign finance advocate called One Issue. By the way, they're the favorite campaign finance group of far-left Sheldon Whitehouse, senator from Rhode Island. He loves them. He sticks their reports into the Congressional Record. Well, I bet you he didn't stick this one in yet. They just recently totaled up all the C4 money in the 2018 election, and gosh, golly gee, there was more on the left than the right.
So it's in writing and in black and white if we could ever hear about it.
But, yes, well, exactly. Their other reports seem to get a lot more media coverage than that one.
Scott, why do you think, I mean, this is a philosophical question. You and I are both conservatives. Why do you think that there is so much more money on the left than on the right? Why are multi-billionaires so drawn to left-wing causes? So many more of them than people on the right. Or do people on the right just keep their money and they're not generous?
Well, actually, of course, we know that's not true because my friend Arthur Brooks has done entire books on how much more to charity conservatives give. Of course, it's especially the religious conservatives who are especially generous, more evidence of what horrible people they are. But I have to say, you know, there's pretty much always a religious explanation for everything in life, I come to think, as I get older. And I think you have to answer the question of all that left-wing money instead of right largely on the on a religious basis, which is to say that those who lack religion have no way to deal with their sins, because all of us do know somewhere deep down inside, I'm a sinner. And I really think that the single most important factor in left-wing giving is a pathetic attempt to expiate sins by changing this world. Because, of course, if it's the world that's evil, then it's not me. I can't be evil. I'm not a sinner. I'm swell. But the world's all messed up. So I'll give money to people who are going to fundamentally transform that dirty, created world. And then I can feel better about myself.
Yeah. So, well, that's, I bet they're, and I also think, I'll add to that, I think that if they don't believe in God, that this life is all there is. They think that their activism, they have to save the world now because that's it for them.
And I think nobody else saved it.
yeah, right. That's right. And Christians have a different view. They believe this is a temporary place. And so we don't
and
seem
somebody
as...
somebody else's savior, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Very well said.
Yeah,
thank goodness.
But I would say that there's a secondary reason I'd give, though. I think that's the most important, but there's a significant secondary reason, and that is the left also stole it. You know, lots and lots of the evil money going into Arabella and other massive left-wing efforts was really just stolen. You know, Andrew Carnegie's billions, John D. Rockefeller's billions, James MacArthur's billions, Henry Ford's billions. The left just stole all that. There's blame to go around. Most of the guys I just mentioned didn't do a good enough job of setting up their foundations and should never have made them perpetual. But still, they would be horrified if they saw what was being done in their name. And the left just, of course, shamelessly goes and greedily hoovers up all the power in those mega billionaire foundations.
Yeah, you know what? And examples of that in the recent past would be like the Ray Kroc fortune of McDonald's being just handed over, I think, to NPR, as I recall. And then the heir apparent of Walmart and Sam's Club are not necessarily dealing with public policy the way the founder, Sam Walton, would have had it. Scott Walter is my guest. And let me just say, again, that influencewatch.org is what Scott is recommending that we use as a guide. Put that, you know, in your phone. It's a good reference so that we can understand the connections here. We're talking today about Arabella, that huge umbrella, $500 million umbrella, that's funding the leftist causes in ways unimaginable. And when we return, Scott, let's talk about what they're doing in a couple of other areas that affects people's lives, like the abortion issue. That's really of great interest. Also, guns, the borders. There are ways that Arabella and its various iterations are making a huge difference in a very, say we say, dark way. This is Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
It's remarkable in a democracy that one man can have the ability to remake our justice system, but it sounds to some extent that's what George Soros is doing. What are his priorities? What are his goals in doing this?
Well, first of all, I would say that I think in a lot of ways, Philadelphia is the laboratory where this experiment in Soros-funded prosecutors is playing out. And now the returns are in, to a certain extent. Larry Krasner has been in office for about a year and a half, funded by Mr. Soros. And we can look at the data and we can see what has happened to Philadelphia. And as you said, homicides have skyrocketed, shootings have skyrocketed. The worst kinds of violent crime have really gone up. And in addition to that, some of the low-level and the mid-level crimes have also gone up, but they aren't being reported. And the reason they're not being reported is because the DA has said he's not going to prosecute them. So you have statistically a bad situation that has developed in Philadelphia, but actually the reality on the ground is even worse than the statistics. And what Mr. Soros, I think, wants to do is that he wants to implement his radical agenda, and he realizes that he can't do that through the normal democratic process. Normally, if you're going to try to get criminal justice reform, you have to do it through the legislature. You have to get broad public support for the kind of changes that you want to institute. He's taking what I would describe as an illegitimate anti-democratic shortcut by trying to purchase DA elections, and then once the DA is in place, he or she doesn't enforce the law. And presto, you've got criminal justice reform.
All right, that was U.S. Attorney William McSwyn with Tucker Carlson. And he's talking about what we discussed earlier in the week about George Soros spending millions of dollars in various cities to elect prosecutors who reflect his views of not prosecuting crime, of lowering the standards for arrests. We see the examples not only in Philadelphia. We see Kim Fox in Chicago. The Jussie Smollett case was a direct result of a Soros-chosen Kim Fox, a prosecutor in Cook County. And so this is an example of how the left is using their money and their groups to affect change in this country in ways that I think are sneaking up on most of us. Scott Walter is my guest. He's the president of Capital Research Center. And we're talking specifically about this entity, $500 million entity called Arabella, of which George Soros is a part. Scott, say a word about George Soros' connection to Arabella, if you could.
Sure. One of the most important things that Soros has done, besides giving billions of dollars to his own foundation network, is he started in 2005 the Democracy Alliance, which is sounds nice, right? Aren't we all for democracy and alliance is nice? But in fact, it's a cabal of ultra-wealthy donors. It originally was mostly individuals. Now it's been joined by some of the largest and most politically powerful labor unions in the country. But they use Arabella in a serious way. And again, this has had virtually, there's a little reporting in the conservative press on this, nothing to my knowledge in anything like the New York Times or the Washington Post on this, the Arabella connection to the Democracy Alliance. So the Democracy Alliance mostly advises these billionaire types on where to send their money in for political purposes. But sometimes, so that is to say, most of the money does not run, you know, doesn't go through their hands, of the group's hands, the Democracy Alliance hands. But sometimes, on the other hand, say, for instance, oh, I don't know, you want to try to flip North Carolina from Republican to Democrat. Well, in that case, it would be useful to pool money from multiple donors who belong to the Democracy Alliance. And so they will set up these funds for either a specific geographic area, like a particular state, or on a particular issue like abortion, and the various donors will put the money into the fund, and then the fund will dole it out in whatever political fight it's being aimed at. Arabella has done this with at least seven different funds, both 501c3 funds and 501c4 funds in multiple states and issue areas. So that's one of the most important ways that Arabella relates to the Soros empire.
You know, I just want to add a little factoid. Gerald Nadler, who is heading the House Judiciary Committee, wants to impeach the president, is also linked to Democracy Alliance, which you just described in detail. Let's move to the abortion issue, because we all know, or we should say, not we maybe don't all know, but George Soros loves abortion. He loves it. He loves it. He gives tons of money to Planned Parenthood. So what is Arabella, the advisors, and the rest of their a dark network, I'll call it. What are they doing to affect the abortion industry and Planned Parenthood and other entities?
Well, one of the things they're doing, of course, because I always give the left credit for being smart and strategic, one of the biggest problems, as the left sees it, is the so-called Hyde Amendment. It dates all the way back to 1976 and the great Congressman Henry Hyde. And it said that federal funds can't be used to fund abortions, with exception only of very extreme cases. And that has lasted all those decades. Half your listeners or more probably weren't alive in 76 when this started. So the left hates it. The left wants to tear it down. And Arabella and its funders are working on that. They have two different entities that are especially active on that. All Above All is the name of one, and All Above All Action Fund is another. And again, as I was saying, Arabella has those in-house nonprofits that are umbrellas and pop up these fake groups. So All Above All and the Action Fund, just like Demand Justice, they don't really exist. They're just websites that are organizing the fight. And the All Above All is a C3, so it is created under the umbrella of Arabella's new venture fund. And the All Above All Action Fund works as a C4, and it's under the same umbrella as Demand Justice, namely the 1630 Fund. And they are fighting very hard to get Congress to overturn the Hyde Amendment. And in 2017, All Above All and All Above All Action Fund were some of the biggest supporters of the so-called Equal Access to Abortion Coverage in Health Insurance bill. That's the Each Woman bill, which would ensure abortion coverage and care through the federal government using both Medicaid and Medicare. Oh, and on top of that, it also would have forbidden states to make laws that restricted abortion coverage in private health plans. Now, there's yet another entity, though, in the Arabella Empire. Also under the New Venture Fund's umbrella, there's a fake group called Women's Equality Center, which creates strategic messaging to market pro-abortion campaigns. And it theoretically manages yet another fake group called Keep Birth Control Copay Free, because God forbid you have to pay a few bucks for your birth control. And of course, the left doesn't care about birth control, generically speaking. It cares really about the abortifacient types of birth control. So you begin to see what a hydra this network really is.
Yes, it's really, I have to say, I'll just drop in before we talk about the next few things. It's really so overwhelming, Scott, that it makes you feel defeated. I guess I would say they don't represent a lot of people, as you have described. It's not the numbers of people that they have. They pay people. I would think we saw in the Kavanaugh hearing, you know, we saw all those paid protesters and how horribly they behaved. And they do have some success, but they create the impression that they are much greater in influence than they really are. It's money that they have and some paid people, but not a lot of citizens. Is that a fair and accurate statement?
Yes, that's the infuriating thing. They have hundreds of groups, which feels like millions and tens of millions of people, but of course is really just the same handful of, you know, poor, mentally unstable folks who man the barricades for these things, and they do it for all the different issues. And this is where media bias is such a massive problem. If their networks were being investigated and exposed widely by the mainstream media, the way that any conservative entity is, you know, the Kochs or somebody else are constantly being everything exposed. And if 20 years ago you got one grant from a Koch Foundation, well, by God, the Washington Post is going to make sure its readers know that. Yes, if this were properly exposed, it wouldn't be nearly the problem, because ordinary Americans would realize, oh, well, those are some fanatical activists and, you know, a handful of followers and, yeah, whatever, what do I care, who won the football game last night.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. But they're very strategic, very clever, and they know how to leverage their power. It does remind me very much of the way the Lenin and the small group of Soviets or communists took over Russia. It does remind me of that very, very much. I'm not saying the deed is done yet or they're going to succeed, but they're working very cleverly. Let's talk just for a second about their involvement in gun control, because that's the House is getting right, House and the Senate are going to get right into that, Scott, as they return back into session this week. So what are these dark money Arabella groups doing in regard to gun control?
Sure. They've got you covered on that, too. And this is one of my favorites, because the name, that is, because, you know, the left is just so good at these things. On the abortion side, we had all above all, oh, it's this massive majority of Americans, right, trying to overturn a law that is so popular and well established in America that it's existed for 45 years. Right. So, but they're all above all. They're not some crazy minority trying to disturb this national consensus across the generations at this point. So in the case of gun control, well, it's the Hope and Heal Fund, right? That sounds like something that the candy striper ladies would be collecting money for at the children's hospital, right?
Yes.
Hope and Heal. Now, it is run by a guy named Brian Malti. I think that's how you pronounce his name. And surprise, surprise, he is a longtime leader of the old-fashioned advocacy group, the Brady Campaign to Prevent Gun Violence.
Right.
Now, it claims to have about a dozen other gun control organizations connected with it. And in this case, we actually do know where some of the explicit money came from. The Hope and Heal Fund was launched in October 2017. And with $2 million from eight far-left funders, and they include the Akonadi Foundation, the California Endowment, California Wellness Foundation, and all you Blue Shield customers will be happy to hear, Blue Shield of California Foundation. So that, by the way, leads us into the point about how the left is now succeeding in taking over big business. After generations of insisting all evil in the universe comes from big business, they are now happily manipulating and taking money out of big business.
Yes, they absolutely are. That's a, you know, I've forgotten his name. The loan.
Justin Danhoff.
Justin, yes. Justin's been a guest many times. And he's kind of the lone voice trying to take back the boardrooms and the corporate meetings where investors come. And that's a whole other story, which we will talk about. But Scott, before we run out of time, this is a huge question to me. What do you know? What can we know about the connection between media? We talked about the fact that the media is not reporting all this. What is the connection between the dark money and the media? Any overt connections?
Well, part of it is just
1 minute.
Sure. Part of it's just staggering ignorance. I had a Washington Post reporter talk to me after he wrote a big thousands of words attacking a conservative group because it was politicized, which is to say it was making conservative arguments in public. And that was just scandalous. And then a few weeks later, he called me up and said, oh, my gosh, I think I've discovered there may be a George Soros-funded group doing that. I mean, that's just laugh-out-loud ignorance and stupidity. And that guy is a regular big-time Washington Post reporter.
Wow. Well, all right. That's a very good example. I would like to think it's ignorance, then maybe there's some hope to turn this thing around. Scott Walter of Capital Research Center, they are champions and have been for decades. Honestly, they have. And Scott has led them into just a whole new realm of discovery. And so we have a lot to be grateful for with the research and work that they do. InfluenceWatch.org, InfluenceWatch.org, and Arabella is the thing you want to find on their webpage. Scott, thank you. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.